Good morning, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, let's.
To you too.
I'm not going to go right at the teeth of, hey, what are we going to do with oil prices and all that. We understand that you've done a little trip through Eastern Kentucky, which I'm very fascinated with on what the Eastern Kentuckians are concerned with these days. You've done a senator that actually spends time in his own state, Rand Paul. But I'm interested in. Right now, Senator, what is your morning routine? What do you usually do? What time do you get up? And are you a big breakfast kind of guy, Rand Paul?
I'm an early morning guy. I'm usually up by 6 in the morning and usually exercise in the morning before I eat.
And what kind of breakfast are you? Are you an eggs and bacon kind of guy or are you a healthy oatmeal?
Breakfast of champions, eggs, bacon, you name it.
All right. I like it. There we go. That's what I'm talking about, bacon.
Standing O from Squatch.
I love it, yes. That's what we like to hear. All right, Senator, you just spent a week with Eastern Kentuckians. What is on their mind?
They're concerned about rising prices in the grocery store. They're concerned about affording the next tank of gas, how expensive it's become. But they're also concerned about making choices. You know, not everybody's got extra money. And when gas prices go up, you know, over a dollar a gallon and gas, you know, grocery prices are up, they have to make choices on what they're able to afford. The main message I have is that we need to know what causes inflation, and it's caused by government overspending, incurring a large debt, and then the Federal Reserve prints new money to pay for the debt. When they print the new money, they devalue the current money and the prices go up. That's inflation. It's caused by too much spending and too much accumulation of debt. And also it's something people need to be aware of because many people from government come offering you free things, free child care, free daycare, free, you know, free health care, free cars, free cell phone, but it's not really free. It's paid for by debt, by the Fed printing it up, and by higher prices. So it's a bait and switch. They're offering you stuff for free, but in the end, really, you're going to pay for it at the grocery store.
Speaking of higher prices, you mentioned gas. Filling up our tanks is quite expensive these days. We didn't hear the OPEC acronym under President Trump. We heard energy independence. Now we're hearing about OPEC again and supplies. What has President Biden done with our energy policy to create, if anything, to create these price problems?
Well, people need to understand that Biden's been pretty explicit about it. The Democrats want to end the production of oil and gas and the use of oil and gas by 2030. So they're talking about within eight years no longer having cars. And this is sort of a ludicrous, preposterous, extreme, radical idea. But when you quit drilling here and you lower the supply, you lower the American supply, the price is going to go up. So it's inflation based on the debt, but it's also a reduction in supply. We were energy independent under President Trump because we were drilling for oil. Now this crowd that's in there now has banned drilling on federal lands. We've been drilling on federal lands for probably 100 years with permits and with environmental protections and without really catastrophe, without really problems until Biden got in. But their antipathy, their hatred for oil and gas and all the jobs that it creates really is a disaster for the country. But people need to know when they go to vote for stuff, this is what you're going to get. You're getting higher prices because you voted Biden into the White House.
Senator, you're a pretty outspoken critic of the Federal Reserve. The president has said that he plans on keeping Jerome Powell around for a second term. Do you think that is the right move for the Federal Reserve, or would you like to see somebody new in that seat?
You know, in the end, as long as Congress keeps borrowing so much money and the president keeps spending so much money, the Federal Reserve is sort of a secondary problem. What they are is the accommodationist. They accommodate the debt by printing up the money. But the thing is they say, well, we didn't spend the money. Congress spent the money. So you see, it's sort of a vicious cycle. I think Jerome Powell will provide money. He will provide whatever money it takes for Congress that doesn't have enough money. But people have to realize the ramifications, the repercussions of what he will do. So, no, I'm not a big Jerome Powell fan. I'm not a Fed fan. I think the Fed ought to be audited. But the thing is that ultimately the responsibility is Congress and the president for spending money we don't have.
The feds are now, federally, we're looking at possibly passing, legalizing medical marijuana nationally so banks can be included in on this this windfall that's happened in a lot of states except for Kentucky. Where do you stand on that?
You know, I've been a state-by-state kind of person that I think each state can make a decision, and then it's based more on what the local public wants in a state-by-state. Well, we need to do something, though, with the federal laws to allow states to make things legal. For example, the national banking system still tells people in Colorado who have legitimate cannabis businesses that they can't use credit cards. National credit cards are afraid of them. National banks are afraid to hold their money. So there's a lot of cash business going on. And I think we should normalize the federal rules and say that any state that's legalized it, the banks are free to take it and the federal banking police won't come after you. The other thing we have to do is we devised a tax code and we said that if you're selling drugs, you can't deduct your employees. So we don't want like the Mexican cartel to be able to deduct their employees. And yet it's a little different now that we have legalized drug sales in Colorado and other states. So I would change the tax code also. If your state, if you're a legal business in a state, let the states make the decision what businesses are illegal. If you're illegal, you should get tax deduction for your normal business expenses, and you should be able to bank. Both of those will be federal laws, and I'm for them. There are two bills that one fixes the tax code and one fixes the banking code. I'm for those. But I think it's still best to let it happen state by state because some states just frankly don't want it yet.
Senator Paul, from the arena of political strategy, this one kind of baffles me. Why is it the Democrats can't figure out that everyone's had it up to here with being called a racist?
Yeah, and the thing is not only that, I think they deserve some, you know, culpability for stoking these racial tensions. Most of my life, I thought we were getting along better, that, you know, there's more intermarriage, there's more integration of churches, there's more voluntary interaction. And really, our kids don't even see people based on race at all. I think it's gotten so much better until the last 3 or 4 years when CNN and MSNBC got involved, and they stoked racial hatred by making everything about race, when in reality, most people go through their normal life, day-to-day, working corporations, play on sports teams, go to church, and we all interact, and there isn't that tension until the media gets involved and starts playing this up, and it's really sad. I mean, I just am appalled at what they do to gin up racism, and it's hard to even watch these networks anymore because all they do is they're doing race baiting all day long. Fox and OAN and Newsmax do a pretty good job of having responsible African-Americans, professors and engineers and people on there saying, you know, that these things are racist, that they're doing. They're describing us as people who are victims, and we are not victims. And I'm proud to see that, but I'm just appalled to see what goes on in CNN and what passes for news on MSNBC.
Well, it works. I'm looking at a tweet from last week. Somebody said, members of Congress today have become – their job has become social media influencers or cable TV stars. Having these bumper sticker mentalities, little taglines that helps you hate the other person is how people get elected today, Rand Paul. It's really kind of a sick, vicious cycle.
What did you see? There was an interview this morning, that Tlaib woman, that congresswoman, she's for releasing everybody from prison within 10 years, everyone. And the announcer's like, well, pedophiles and murderers and rapists. And she's like, well, why are you talking about those people? I want to talk about these other people. It's like, well, you just said everyone. You want to release everyone from prison. They want to have no police. You know, what needs to happen in the next electoral cycle is people who say they want to defund the police and let everybody out of jail, we need to send them all packing. And whether they're in Congress or running for Congress, they need to be sent a loud and clear message. We don't want a society with no police and nobody in prison for wrongdoing.
The infrastructure bill is still a very hot topic. The House cleared it after a lengthy filibuster from Kevin McCarthy. It's now in your chamber's hands. What is the mood in that chamber as that legislation is likely going to come before you here sooner rather than later?
You're talking about the Build Better fiasco?
The human infrastructure part of it, yes.
Yeah, well, I think infrastructure is a misnomer for this one. This one's just social spending. It's big government socialism, basically. You know, they started out at $3.5 trillion. Now they're talking about $1.75 trillion. But really, it costs the same amount. It's open-ended. It depends on how many years you count it for. So you can say, oh, we only count 2 years, so it's only going to spend $1.75 million. Or you could say, oh, we're going to say 5 years, then it's $3.5 million. If you say 10 years, it's really like $10 trillion. These programs aren't going away. And once again, they're the bait and switch of the Democrats. They're offering you something for free, but not telling you that all the money has to be borrowed and that ultimately it means inflation and rising prices in the stores and the gas stations. But no, it's really bad for the country. No Republicans will vote for this next package. On the House side, no Republicans voted for it, and there won't be any Republicans in the Senate. So it's amazing that a country so evenly divided is pushing such a radical, extreme spending bill that will bankrupt the country with no Republican input and no Republican votes. It's extraordinary how far and how hard they're pushing.
Senator, I asked a local professor once about voting in the inner city, and he said Democrats exploit the black vote, the Republicans ignore it. With crime surging in Louisville and major cities around the country, and Democrats in charge of all of them, is it time finally for Republicans to get off the bench and do something in the inner city instead of just figuring they're not going to vote for me anyway, so why bother?
We've tried very hard. I've probably been to the West End 50 to 100 times. We talk all the time about how we can reduce crime. It's not getting rid of the police. We've talked about trying to connect the boys and girls to boys and girls clubs, to look for transportation, to get them there, to have a safe environment. We've talked about rounding up the shooters in Louisville and putting them in prison. They have to be, there are certain people, they're not going to be sort of cajoled or said, oh, why don't you be nicer and quit shooting people? Certain people have to be arrested and put away and separated from the rest of us. And then the kids who are on the margins of that, some of those can be safe. But really, the 14-year-old that was shot at the bus stop, somebody's got to care about that. And I don't think the Democrats give a damn about these kids. They want them to stay dependent and they want their vote, but nobody's doing anything about the crime in their neighborhoods. Ultimately, I think the message that we want police, and we want police to protect people in the West End. And the other thing is look at the Louisville Police Department. I've been down there. It's a very diverse police department. Many of the people in management now are African-American. I think they want to do the best thing for the city. So people have to get over this rage that all the police are bad and that we should get rid of policing. I don't meet anybody when I go down to visit the Louisville Police Department who believes that. I do believe they are good people and they're trying to do the best at a hard job. But we have more murders per capita than Chicago right now. So something's got to be done, but it isn't a black-white thing. This should be about all of us wanting less violence in the city for everyone.
Senator, let's end this on a little bit of a lighter note. Probably one of the most divisive issues in this state is going to play out on Saturday evening.
Oh,
Kentucky-Louisville football.
The Who Governor's Cup. Who you got?
Yes.
Senator,
are you allowed to have someone?
I guess in this one, I'm just going to have to root for Western Kentucky University, right?
Cop out. Will we see you at Cardinal Stadium on Saturday night for the Governor's Cup?
No, I'll be there in spirit. But, you know, when I'm home, I love to be home and not traveling around. We'll be celebrating Thanksgiving with family and doing some local events, but not traveling so much. But, yeah, may the best team win. That's
okay. All right.
May the best team win.
All right. Sometimes the simplest questions are the hardest. What are you thankful for on Thanksgiving when you do your prayer on Thanksgiving morning? What will you say you are thankful for, Senator?
For the health and safety of my family, for the greatness of our country, and that we continue that and appreciate it.
Senator Rand Paul, thanks for your time, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
See you guys. All right, Senator Rand Paul, there you go.